الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة الصلاة السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون صدق الله العظيم وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتلة وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا الذبح إلى آخر الحديث وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, our mothers and sisters who may be listening over streaming, over the past few weeks we had discussed and we had commenced the discussion on these verses of the Qur'an-i-Majeed. These verses of the Qur'an-i-Majeed are extremely comprehensive in that it encompasses a number of aspects and facets of our lives. We all know that the Qur'an-i-Majeed is our book of guidance. If we may say, it is our instruction manual. A person buys a motor vehicle, he buys a cell phone, he buys a smart watch. And together with that, you will have an instruction manual. That how do you unlock the features of this particular vehicle, of this particular watch. Some of them have online apps that you can download or you can access. In order to maximize the benefit of that motor vehicle or that commodity, one refers to the instruction manual and is able to maximize the benefits of that particular commodity. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an instruction manual. And if we refer to that instruction manual, then we can maximize our stay in this world. Like a person has a motor vehicle, he knows at the end of the day this vehicle, I'll probably have it for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. Some people change their vehicles more often, others keep theirs longer. Some people have a cell phone, they have a contract every 2 years, they're upgrading. So now he knows in his mind that in this 2 year period, I need to maximize my benefits from this particular contract, from this particular vehicle, from this particular phone. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala has sent each and every one of us into this world for a limited period of time. We all have a contract. Just for us to understand, Allah Ta'ala has given us a contract. Allah Ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. That Allah Ta'ala has done a purchase, an agreement. There is a contract that has taken place between us and Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala has given us this life. Allah has given us the commodity of time. The extremely precious commodity of time. That commodity that is even more valuable than money. Some people say time is money. They have actually not realized the value of time. Time is actually more valuable than money. Time is far more valuable than money. In fact, someone said time is life. That maybe perhaps is a more better equation or better analogy. That time is life. Money, chalo, today a person has money, tomorrow it's gone. The person has 5,000 rand in his pocket, finish. Somebody pulls out a gun, Allah protect, 5,000 gone. Person has a very flashy car. Our late Moyanus Padat Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that some people, they have a flashy vehicle or they have expensive clothing, and that makes them feel very proud, makes them feel very special. Another person, now he walks with the extra air about himself. Perhaps there's an extra bounce, and sometimes the person forgets one bounce along the way. So he's walking with a little, his shoulders are a little higher. So Maulana used to say that if the motor vehicle is giving you, making you a respectable man, then it means when they hijack your motor vehicle, they've hijacked, along with your motor vehicle, they've hijacked your respect. Along with your expensive clothing that has been stolen or whatever it was, they also stole, or at night when you're going to sleep and you take out your clothing and put on your pyjamas, so now you took out all your respect and you put it in the washing, finish, gone. That is not what gives a person respect. It's actually the inner qualities that brings us respect, but that is a separate topic in itself. But even on this point, to make us understand that how invaluable, or how worthless the items of this world really are. Just to give us an understanding, there was an incident where a person's vehicle was hijacked. And it so happened that his cell phone was left in the vehicle. So he dialed the number. And the hijacker picked up the phone. So he decided to negotiate with the person. He said, listen, why don't you give me back the car? I'll give you something. So he says, okay, let me just explain to you. If I hijack this vehicle, and it happened to have been one of those S-class Mercedes in those times. So he said, if I hijack the vehicle, I'll get paid 5,000 rand. And if I had to hijack, and if I had to kill you, then I'll get 10,000 rand. So, Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi Ma'ayyus, Padat Sahib Rahmatullah says, can we imagine how cheap life has become to? Life also has become so cheap. So, from this you understand that there's absolutely hardly any value for anything, and we find many places, many countries, sometimes the properties were so valuable. And suddenly there was a complete turnover in that economy and in that country. A person's, the value of his property may have been up there. And suddenly there was some turmoil in the country, there was a change of government, there was instability. And in his entire community you find there's a the value of that property has been completely lost. There are so many places, even in South Africa, where at one time people had purchased their property at a certain value, and then we find that perhaps the municipality in that area had become completely dysfunctional, which nowadays becomes seems to be more common than not. And many of the homes are hijacked, and properties are hijacked, and vagrants and these informal settlements, they have surrounded the entire locality. A few months ago I went to one community in Johannesburg, and they were explaining to me and showing me all the informal settlements. They said, Morana, we can't even sell our properties anymore. Nobody wants to even buy. Even if we sell it like below the cost of what we paid, then too we can't seem to sell our properties. So yet the person purchased the property at such a high value, but suddenly conditions can change, and that same property can become absolutely worthless. Absolutely worthless. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. But there's examples of other countries where complete instability, typical example, Burma, case in point, where people had such wealth they had, that it is mentioned that if a person wanted to reach his property, then from the front gate till the where the property, where the house actually started, he couldn't even walk. He had to sit in a vehicle to drive. The driveways were so long. They used to have a wedding, then every single guest would get an entire chicken, whole chicken. Each guest gets an entire chicken. The youngsters, they were so intoxicated by wealth, they used to take the $100 notes, they used to roll it up, and they used to put tobacco inside, and they used to smoke it. That's how much of wealth they had. The late Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali, who was a great alim, and he was a historian. So they say history repeats itself. History repeats itself. That is why it is mentioned, Qisasul Awwaleen Ibratul Lil Akhirin, that the stories of the nations of the past are a lesson for the people at present. Yeah, incidents that took place in the past, they are lessons for the people at present. So he was a historian, he was a master in his field. So he went into Burma and he gave a historical talk, and he said that if I have to tell you, looking at the clouds that are gathering, that it is about to rain, you will not say that I am a Nabi, I am a prophet. I am looking at the signs. There are signs that are indicating that it's going to rain. If I see a woman who is in her 9th month of pregnancy, and if I say that she's on the verge, she may deliver any time, you won't say that I am a Nabi, I am saying, making some prophecy. The signs are there. He says, I am looking at the condition and how intoxicated you are with your wealth, and how you have forgotten your purpose in this world, and how you have neglected the people around you, and you are living well above the people that are around you. He says, I fear that if you don't change your condition, that in 10 years time there will be a revolution in this country. And exactly as he had predicted, again, based on history, as he had predicted, approximately 10 years thereafter, there was a complete revolution. People who were owners of huge factories, there was a complete change of power. The military were at the door. They said, you have one or two options. Hand over the keys, we take over, you work for us, or you pack your bags, whatever you can take, and get out of the country. Many people opted to get out and leave the country. Now imagine, a person built his empire. Perhaps he inherited that empire from his grandfather or father. And how much of effort was put in it. But Allah Ta'ala is all powerful. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء. Allah Ta'ala is the king of all kings. Allah grants power, grants kingdom, grants wealth to whomsoever he wishes, and Allah Ta'ala snatches it away to whomsoever he wishes. Allah can snatch away that wealth that was acquired over generations in a matter of one or two minutes. We had one student of ours. They were living in a certain place. Their family business, when they look back to the history, it took them approximately 150 years to build. 150 years to build from generation to generation. When the looting took place, in a matter of 3 hours, they had to load their vans and trucks and leave whatever they could leave. He came to me crying. He says, Maulana, when I went back in my room and I saw the condition of the room, my heart was shattered. It shows, of course, for those people, our heart goes out to them. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy on them, and Allah grant them much more in return. But it is a lesson for us that Allah can take away something from someone that took him years to build in a matter of minutes, and in a matter of hours, and in a matter of days. Nothing is difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, never become attached to our wealth. Never become attached to that which we have. Yes, use it. And a Muslim should become successful. And a Muslim should try and enhance himself. We mustn't say that we must be backwards. But don't allow your heart to become attached to this. So nevertheless, respected elders and brothers, we were on the point of the fact that the Quran Majeed is a book of guidance. It is a instruction manual for us. That if a person wants to unlock the features of his cell phone, if he wants to unlock the features of his motor vehicle, he refers to that instruction manual. In the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, he has entered into a contractual agreement with us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. That Allah has given you life and Allah has given you wealth. And of course wealth is not only confined to rands and cents. Allah has given a person a wealth of intelligence. Allah has given a person a wealth of some sort of skill. Allah has given a person a wealth of being able to be a very creative thinker. That he can look at the community and says, you know, I think if we come up with a certain strategy in our community, we can change this community for the better. That is a wealth which Allah has granted this individual. Another person perhaps is a very good architect. So he is earning a wage that is comfortable for himself and his family, but he is unable to perhaps build a masjid with his wealth. But Allah has given him the ability of being a good architect. He can use that skill to design a masjid. That is also a form of wealth. So Allah has purchased and entered into this agreement with us, that He has granted us the commodity of life, and He has granted us all these kind of wealths, intelligence, sight, and physical wealth, the actual wealth that we have in the form of rands or cents or whatever it is. And in lieu of what? بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Use this year to buy your akhirah, to buy your paradise, to find your place in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. So every single verse of the Quran Sharif is directing us towards that. Directing us towards success. Directing us towards the path of Jannah. Hence, every single word of the Quran Sharif, every single verse of the Quran Sharif, it has got great amount of value. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true respect and understanding of what this Quran Sharif really is. You know, sometimes a person, he receives a letter from his beloved in this world of illicit love relationships. And the person gets a message from his beloved. He becomes very excited. She becomes very, very excited when she reads this or when he reads it. That my beloved sent me this particular message, or sent me this email, or sent me this letter. One wali of Allah, he said that whenever I want to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I engage in salah. Whenever I want to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I engage in salah. And whenever I want to hear Allah ta'ala talking to me, I open the Quran and Majeed and I recite the Quran Sharif. It is as if Allah ta'ala is speaking to us, because the kalam of Allah ta'ala is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is actually the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is as if Allah ta'ala is talking to us. Imagine, subhanallah, one sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he would open the Quran Majeed, he would say to himself, and sometimes he would go into a state of ecstasy, what we term as a hal. He would go into a hal. He would say, Hada kalamu Rabbi, Hada kalamu Rabbi, that this is the kalam, this is the speech of my Rabb, of my Creator, of the Creator of the seven heavens and the earth, of the Creator of Jannah and Jahannam. This is his speech. So he would remind himself and he would go into a condition that would overwhelm him. Now imagine if we read the Quran with that kind of a feeling. What an effect it will have on my heart and our hearts. May Allah grant us tawfiq. So if we just remind ourselves that this is a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then every verse of the Quran Sharif will have a tremendous amount of value in our hearts. In fact, it will have more value. I always tell our students in the madrasa who are learning Quran Sharif that alhamdulillah, you should earn, you should get some skill. But remember, every verse of the Quran Sharif that you are learning, it is more valuable than this whole world and what it contains. You can't understand the value in this world. There are many things, examples. A person has got 100 riyals in his hand. If he goes to the local supermarket and gives the 100 riyals, that person, sometimes many of them, first time they saw this note in their lives. Now they don't know that this 100 riyal is more valuable than rands or equals to 400 or 500 rand, whatever the exchange rate may be. Or sometimes a person never seen a $100 bill, for example, or pounds. But if he goes to the next country, then he'll understand the value of that currency. The currency of the hereafter is good deeds. It is good deeds. And Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that every verse of the Quran Sharif will purchase you one stage in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Every verse of the Quran Sharif will purchase you one stage in Jannah. Let this be an incentive for all of us. That even if we're not a Hafiz of Quran, but we learn one surah of the Quran Sharif. We learn Yasin Sharif. In Yasin Sharif, how many verses of the Quran Sharif there are? So you learn Yasin Sharif. Alhamdulillah, you've purchased so many stages in Jannah. Now on the other hand, if a person takes all his wealth, he's got properties, investments here, investments there. And if he goes in the yard and says to the angels, that listen, I got all these properties, this is my portfolio. Look at my portfolio of investments. I want one palace in Jannah. So this world and whatever it contains has absolutely no value in the hereafter. There's a famous hadith we always quote, لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّلْيَا تَعْدِلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضًا مَا سَقَى مِنْهَا كَافِرًا شَرْبَةَ مَاءٍ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if this whole dunya and whatever it is contained therein, if it had the value in the eye of Allah of a wing of a mosquito, if it even had that much value, Allah would not have given the disbeliever one sip of water to drink. From this we understand that this whole world and what it contains does not even have that kind of a value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, respected elders and brothers, coming back to these verses of the Quran and Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we have commenced in the previous lecture, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that Allah has instructed in Allah ya'muru bil adl, that Allah has enjoined and instructed us towards the quality of adl, the quality of being just and being fair. And there are many verses of the Quran Sharif in which Allah Ta'ala highlights this aspect in our lives of justice. That a person, in whichever field he is, there must always be justice. A person has children and he is giving gifts, there should be justice in that. A person has multiple wives, that in the manner in which he spends on those wives, there should be justice. A person is an employer, the way he deals with his staff, there should be justice in this. A person is a teacher in a classroom, he must not favor one child over another child. There should be justice in this. So Allah Ta'ala instructs justice. And there are many examples in the lives of the Sahaba Ikram in which this quality of justice was very, very, very highlighted. It was pronounced. And the opposite of justice is injustice. Where a person now, we see it in the government, they say that, you know, they are giving jobs to the comrades. All the comrades are being given jobs. So now the person is your friend, is your bosom friend. He doesn't have the skill for that particular job, and neither does he have the quality of being trustworthy. But because he's your friend, you give him the job. This is the typical example of injustice, that now somebody else was more skilled for that particular job, but now because this person is your friend, you've given him preference. This is a form of injustice. Because eventually what will happen? That person doesn't have the capability. He doesn't have the skill. Some of them can't even count properly. So they are unable to count. But now he is going to have to do the calculations of running that entire municipality. Allah Ta'ala have mercy on us. So this is the outcome of this kind of injustice. On the other hand, a person, perhaps you may not like him. Perhaps he may not be the same skin color as you. Perhaps he may not be coming from the same tribe or village that you come from. Perhaps he's from another country altogether. But he has the talent, he has the skill, that if he takes on this post, he will be able to do justice. Now you as the employer, it is your duty as a Muslim to look at what is just and what is in the best interest of fulfilling this particular portfolio that you have been entrusted with. So Allah Ta'ala has instructed us to be just, to be fair, that we must not say that this is my friend, this is my family, so let me change my decision in his favor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this quality of justice. So Allah, we've discussed this in detail. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. The quality of ihsan, and this is something that I want to elaborate a little more on. that ihsan means, in loosely translated in English, would be perfection. Would be perfection. That a Muslim is a person who makes an effort to achieve perfection. Now, of course, somebody will have an objection that, Mauli Sahab, Maulana, no one is perfect besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a fact. Allah ta'ala is the only being that is perfect. Everything and anything besides Allah will always have some affection, some imperfection rather. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is munazzahun, that Allah is free from any form of imperfection. Allah is a complete embodiment of perfection. However, we as man can make an effort to achieve a level of perfection. And what we may never have achieved perfection, but we will achieve excellence. That a person will now, somebody will say, MashaAllah, you know, they run their business in a very professional way. We hear these terms. This person, you know, he conducts his affairs, he keeps his family together in a very wonderful way. He knows how to keep the family together, he knows how to mediate, and if there's some conflict in his family, him being the senior person in his family, mashallah, he knows how to handle the situation. He's reached a level of excellence. Mashallah, look at the, there are some issues, but he knows how to deal with it. This person maintains his vehicle. MashaAllah, there's a level of excellence. That vehicle will always, there'll be some issue or the other. Either it'll be the tires or the alignment or with all the potholes that we have. Someone say we don't have potholes, we have craters. So with all the problems that we have on the road, every now and again the person is sorting out his alignment. Somebody gave an example. He said that when you see the planes when they're flying, so now the pilot and the air traffic controller, they work hand in hand. And they have something called a flight path. That they're going to fly from destination A to destination B. They say if you study that flight path, you'll find that 90% of the time that plane is not on the flight path. 90% of the time that plane is not on the flight path. But what happens between the pilot and the air traffic controller, they are continuously doing something called a flight path correction. So they're continuously correcting the flight path of that plane until eventually they reach the destination. And sometimes they even reach the destination on time. And sometimes they even reach the destination before time. Or perhaps they may be 1 or 2 minutes late. In the same way, we can never be perfect. 90% of the time we may be off in running our business, in maintaining our properties, in maintaining our lives. Yes, we may be off. But we keep on making corrections. We keep on doing and putting such systems in place that can make sure that our businesses, for example, are correct. But more higher than our businesses, respected elders and brothers, our spiritual life, our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, more often than not, we may be faltering. We may be making a mistake. But we keep on making, if we may say, flight path corrections. That you know what, today I didn't perform my Fajr Salah in the manner that I should have performed it. Or this morning, you know, I conducted myself in the business and I thought bad about a certain person. I need to do a correction here. Allah forgive me. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi. Or the person committed some sin and he reads Surakat Salatul Tawbah. Or the person takes out some charity. Or perhaps he was harsh to a staff member or employee of his. He calls him and says, you know, I realized that I was a bit too hard on you. But you know, this is what I was thinking about. And I felt that this was inappropriate. But look, just to cover up, I'll ask you for forgiveness. Please make me maaf. I didn't really mean to hurt you in any way. And perhaps the person even gives the person 150 rand or 100 rand, whatever it is, or 20 rand the person gives. Now we will say that this person is making a flight path correction. And inshallah, he will reach his destination on time. So ihsan is achieving a level of perfection in everything that we do. And in the light of our deen, in the light of our a'mal, in the light of our salah, in the light of our prayers, in the light of our ibadat and our worship. A beautiful example is given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Jibreel alayhi salam, not rather an example, but a question was posed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mal ihsan? Then what is ihsan? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the light of worship, an ta'bud Allah ka annaka tara, that you worship Allah ta'ala as if you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. Because remember, if you cannot see Allah Ta'ala, Allah is watching you. So what happens? The person every now and again, he wants to do something inappropriate in the workplace. But he says, you know, the CCTV camera is there. He's a staff member. He wants to take a break and check his cell phone. But he says, there's a possibility the manager, the supervisor is watching on the camera. Everything is being recorded. Everything is going to be checked. It may be held against me. So now that stops him from doing anything inappropriate during his work time. He says, you know what, I'll be having a break in 45 minutes time. I'd rather check my messages then. Let me carry on doing my work. So in this way, a person keeps on reminding himself that, you know, if I'm going to do this here, if I'm going to usurp the right of the next person, if I'm going to, you know, forge the signature in this world so that I can get a larger share, then yes, I may get away, but Allah is watching me. Allah can see everything. I may escape from the people in this world, but how will I escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this wonderful quality of ihsan, that we can conduct ourselves in this world in terms of our ibadat, in terms of our relationship with others, that we always have this in our mind that Allah is watching us, Allah is with us, Allah can see us. We will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah with regards to every single action. Ask yourself the question, how will I answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if I engage in this activity? If you're giving yourself a positive answer, mashallah, go for it. But if you're giving yourself a negative answer, then I won't be able to answer Allah ta'ala. I will be disgraced and embarrassed. Then, respected elders and brothers, you need to apply the brakes. You need to turn in the opposite direction. You need to make a flight path correction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to remain on the straight path. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the suffering of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, restore the dignity of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unite the hearts of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah. Thank you.